Today, Luke tells us that the women who were following Jesus at early dawn go to Jesus' tomb. We don't know exactly which women, who they were, or how many. Every gospel writer tells it differently. In Luke, it's the largest group described. Mary Magdala, which means tower in Aramaic, Joanna, and another Mary who was mother of the disciple James, and other women who followed Jesus. As for the men, the disciples that usually get most of the press, Luke doesn't mention exactly where they are. According to John, they were hiding in fear. Maybe so. What is important is that Luke wants to tell us that a group of the women who were disciples of Jesus went to the tomb to do the work of taking care of Jesus' body. Work that could not be finished when he was first entombed because the Sabbath, the day of rest, was beginning. Luke tells us these women who were disciples of Jesus go to serve Jesus. Even in his death, they go with spices for his body. They go to finish the work. The fact is that for all of Jesus' followers, literally all hell has broken loose. The man they have followed for years, the teacher they had given their lives to, the one who had given them hope for a way out of the oppression, the injustice, the suffering. They lived under the power of the military occupation of the Roman Empire. The Lord whom they had believed in, trusted, given their hearts to, is dead. He was turned upon by the religious and political leaders whose power and authority he had threatened when he spoke up for the broken, the oppressed, the downtrodden, the marginalized. He was turned upon, arrested, given an illegal trial before a religious council in secret under cover of darkness. He was falsely condemned by Herod and Pilate, government authorities who, despite their admitting that there was nothing to condemn, did so anyway. Probably because of the gathered mob, whipped into a frenzy by those out to destroy Jesus, demanding his death. The disciple Simon, whom Jesus named Peter, which means rock, he only narrowly escaped being arrested with Jesus by denying that he knew him. Everyone else, others whom the powers might have had reason to accuse and arrest, either ran away or skulked at a distance trying to avoid attention while Jesus was publicly beaten, mocked, tortured, until he breathed his last. This reality must have been crushing for all who followed Jesus. Jesus is dead. Their hopes destroyed. Their future bleak. And the grim truth is, we live in a world which all too often mirrors this reality. This story of Jesus, which Luke shares, of disciples who've lost their Lord, their teacher, their friend, the one in whom they put their trusts and hopes, to whom they had opened their hearts. This story is of a world rife with corruption and political machinations and power mongering, a world of power brokers who had become wealthy and powerful in the same way that such people often become wealthy and powerful by extracting resources from everyone else, by oppressing the people. If you don't know, it's estimated that in Jesus' day, at least 90% of the people lived at subsistence level, which means their goal each day would be to find enough to survive today. Luke's story of religious and political power brokers turning their wrath, their destructive force unjustly against a man for speaking up against the very injustice that did him in. This story of Jesus mirrors countless other human stories. Stories which happen because of our sin again and again in every age, including our own. So for me, this story is not a story about some problem that God has with humanity. Despite the fact that this is one of the common ways people understand the Jesus story, to see it primarily as fixing a problem between us and God, in short, that we have a sin problem and God has a wrath toward sinners problem, and Jesus is about fixing that problem between us, sorting it out so we can be in heaven with God. Despite the fact that many have been taught the Jesus story that way, to me, that's not what this story is so much about. Not exactly. Instead, what I see, what most ELCA Lutherans, most mainline Christians see, is that this Jesus story is about how we humans have a sin problem and it's killing us. The problem with sin, that is letting our fear make us selfish and self-centered and self-focused. The problem with sin, that is letting our fear make us lose compassion for others, turn against others, become divided from and estranged from others, become full of apathy and contempt for others, full of scorn, disdain, and hatred. The problem with sin, that is our fear which turns me towards me and mine and away from us, from neighbor, from community. The problem with sin is not that it makes us unlovable to God. Jesus teaches that God never stops loving us. The problem with sin is not that it makes us unforgivable. Jesus prayed for God to forgive the very people who nailed him to the cross as he was dying. The problem with sin is that sin is killing us. Because of sin, we're killing each other, destroying each other. Because of sin, we cause one another so much pain, all kinds of suffering. And yes, God does hate this. But that does not mean God hates us. When a child whom we love, or any person whom we love for that matter, does something harmful, hurtful, destructive, or self-destructive, of course we're upset. Of course we hate that they've done something to hurt others or themselves. But that doesn't mean we stop loving them or stop forgiving them. That doesn't mean we hate them. To me, this story is about Jesus showing us that death has no power over us. This story is about Jesus showing us that God does not stop loving us or forgiving us, even when we do the most unimaginable, terrible things to one another. The story tells us that God never wearies of forgiving and loving and guiding and teaching and leading and urging and inviting us, whatever it takes to help us repent, which means turn and go a different way, be changed, to be led to a better way, a way that leads to new life, abundant life, better life, life filled with grace and mercy, hope and joy, compassion, kindness, life filled with love. The reality which the disciples were living on that first Easter dawn was crushing. Jesus was dead. Their hopes were destroyed. The future seemed bleak. The truth is, right now, many people feel that same way. I don't know anyone of any political persuasion who's not concerned about the state of the world today. So much hatred, violence, murder, mass shootings, wars that never end, so much corruption and greed in corporations, in governments, in institutions, in churches, so much division and rancor, so many people being treated as less than human. The injustice is staggering. People literally being evil to one another, God's children doing evil to one another every single day. The power and the wealth continues to be gathered into the hands of fewer and fewer. Half the people in our land hold 6% of the wealth. Housing is unaffordable. The climate is changing faster and faster. We're literally making little progress. You know, we could all talk about the problems in the world and how it keeps getting worse for hours. You've probably all done it recently. Which is, again, why on Easter Day we need this good news. We need this good news, this story of Jesus that tells us God never wearies of forgiving us, loving us, working to change us, to lead us towards a new way, new life, abundant life. This is the story the world needs. In every age, today. The truth is, we have different roles to play in this story, perhaps on different days. Some days, you might be like the men in this story, the apostles, whom we usually hear so much about. But today they were in danger. They're not on the scene. They're staying out of sight because of their fear. They are so afraid that even when the women told them the good news that they had talked to angels and Jesus was not there, they couldn't even believe it. But someday, some days our role to play in the story of the brokenness of the world and God's work to transform us. Some days our role is like those women. Mary, renamed Magdala. Mary, mother of James, Joanna, and all the others in the story whose names we will never even know. Some days our role in the story might be the role of all those disciples of Jesus who went to the tomb to do the work. Some days we are the disciples who are empowered by God as they were, who have been set free from fear. The disciples who go to serve Jesus, who go to do Jesus' work of loving one another, of caring for our neighbors. Today is the resurrection day, Easter, a day we proclaim new life in God, that God says life cannot be contained in a tomb. May God empower us this day, every day, to continue doing the work which the God who never stops loving us has called us to do. To do the work with God at our side. May God indeed empower us to do the work of loving our neighbor, of serving others, in Jesus' name. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.